I'm gonna sit down. Hallelujah. Stand up.
I'm gonna tell Pastor Ben, bring me my fan. But we can't turn on the air.
No, you're gonna turn on the air
okay,
up here.
Okay.
You're gonna turn up the air up for him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm live. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
All right. Praise the Lord. God is good. Drea is going to pray me in, and then we are going to get started.
Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the word, dear Jesus, that continues to run through us, dear Lord, to us and through us, dear Jesus. I love what Pastor said, dear Lord, that we move with you, dear Jesus, because you are in us and we are in you, dear Lord, when we have sacrificed ourselves by a willing commitment to be in your bosom, dear Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for today, dear Lord. We thank you for your word, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, as he prepares to give what's on his heart directly from your Holy Spirit. He's in as a willing vessel, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for being here. It is wonderful to have people in the house. Hallelujah. This church has taken so many metamorphoses. It's like we used to be like nothing but young people, and then we had a lot of people, and then we didn't have a little people, and then we had a lot of people. It's like, yeah, it's crazy, but it's beautiful. The great thing about it is we get to preach what the Lord wants us to preach. Yeah. And it's ours. Praise God. I have a bit of a Christmas message. And it's kind of deep, though. You know me. This is a card from Karen. Karen Bland sent us a card, Drea. Yeah. See that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Where's Pastor Ben at? Is he not here?
He's here.
Is he back? Okay. All right, we're gonna get started on this message. I'm excited about Christmas. I asked God for a new message, and so he gave me a new message, and showed me something I had never seen before and explained it to me, and so I'm excited to be able to explain it to you, and there'll be a lot of other little things in this message that you'll learn. So kind of pay attention. I'm dealing with people asking me questions and sending me new stuff they found. I was like, every year I have to answer one question. What's the one question every year at Christmas time? Is Christmas pagan? No, it's not pagan, only if you bring a tree in your house, decorate it, and bow down and worship it. If you do that, you're doing what they did in Babylon. Now, was Santa Claus a real person? No, he was not. But, what's his name? Nicholas? Yeah, Saint Nicholas? He was a real person. And, he got kicked out of Catholic Church for saying that the Trinity that was one, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he got kicked out. He used to take gifts and stuff to kids. They told him he couldn't do that anymore, so he started sneaking it out. You guys should read this stuff. Then one night, this lady, this family was going to lose their daughters to prostitution because he couldn't pay these bills. The guy couldn't pay his bills. So this guy, Nicholas, came and put the money in their window at night, and they woke up with enough money to pay the people off. So it's a lot of things about St. Nicholas that he did and before he got kicked out of the Catholic Church. So St. Nicholas is a real person. Santa Claus is not. Ooh, I'm sorry. Any kids here? But so now you, so, okay. So we're going to start off today's message in the book of Matthew. We're going to be talking about the Magi. You guys know who the Magi were? Yeah. Could you share? No. No, the Magi was a group of kingmakers, very wealthy, out of Persia, very wealthy people. They loved the Hebrew people, and they followed prophecy 100%. So they knew when Jesus was going to be born, and they were trying to be there when the star appeared over Bethlehem. They wanted to be there to greet him and to pray for him, because they knew not only would he be that he was being born, but he was being born a king. And so they had followed all of the prophecies, and through the prophecies they realized they have to head to Israel because the king should be born there very soon. So they headed out to go to Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they were, like I said, they were kingmakers. And so they really knew the truth. And it's a very interesting story. So let's look at this. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So if you have your Bible, let's go there. I'm getting ready for this week. There's no Bible study on Wednesday. I'm going to have to find something to do with myself. All right. Not chores. I know you got me. Something other than painting and lifting. Okay. You're in Luke chapter 1. You there? And we're going to be in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, or Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, that's a lot to take in, right? So what's going on here is not only the fact that Mary is being announced to her that she's going to have a child, and that this child is going, and of course she's, we'll get to that part, but she's, they're let, he's let, the angel's letting her know that her child is going to be a king, and that not only was he going to be a king, he was going to sit on David's throne. And when he sits on David's throne, he's going to do it forever. Now, you know, that's a lot to take in, but the promise is true. Jesus was born for the purpose of being a king, okay? And that I want you to know first of all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we're going to read through verse 25. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people. That is what Yeshua means. He will save, okay? Some people try to say, oh, it's Yahshua. Yahshua is the name God, you know, because we, in the black community, we have everybody. So, like, his name, Yahshua. Yeah. His name is Yeshua. It's good Hebrew language. It means he will save, okay? So, and it says, because he will save his people from sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us, okay? And Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until after the birth of the son, and he gave him the name Yeshua. Now, some beautiful things there. The first thing is that Joseph is a righteous guy. He did not want to, because a divorce was very public and very embarrassing. The woman that went through it five times, and she said, and this other guy you're living with, she had went through a public divorce. That means she had been embarrassed. They take you to the center of town, they call out everybody, and they tell them what you did and why they're divorcing you. And it's a very public, disgracing thing, okay? So first of all, Joseph was a righteous person. He didn't want to do that. Second of all, God was very righteous because he sent an angel to explain to him what happened. And that's what I would have needed, okay? I need to talk directly to God or an angel because something ain't right. Yeah. Began, you know, because I mean, that's some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be trying to call him Maury Povich. We want to be, you want to, you know, no.
Jeremy.
Yeah. Who's that, Jerry?
Jerry
Springer. Yeah, Jerry Springer, I'm telling you. So Joseph wanted to do the right thing. He wasn't like some of y'all. Y'all, but I want to be on the talk. I want to be on the show. But I mean, God sent an angel to let him know.
Yeah.
This is what's going on, okay? You have the son that's going to be born, and so Jesus is going to be king. Praise God. Go to I'm in chapter 2 right now. Let's watch this. It says, after Jesus is born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now they ask, where is he who is born king of the Jews? So where are they getting the idea, these magi, that Jesus is going to be a king? They have been studying the Hebrew text for a long time. They didn't just show up. They were measuring time, dates, years, and this had been passed long since they left Babylon, and the Persians were the first one that actually had magi who were kings, people who appointed kings, okay? So, let's continue reading this. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, the chief priests, teachers, and law of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophets had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd, will be the shepherd of the people of Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Was he telling the truth? Okay. I want you to know and understand this. The story of Moses is that Moses lived is happening again with Jesus, okay? Because now, the same as when Moses was born, the king was trying to kill all the children under the age of the appointed birth time in an effort to make sure that this Savior doesn't come to save the people of Israel out of Egypt. And now you have, once again, Jesus is being born, and Herod is going to do the same thing. Even after the Magi don't go back, you know what he does? He orders all the children of a certain age to be killed so that he could keep Jesus from being born. But where did Jesus go during that time? To Egypt. So he went to Egypt. Now, not only did Moses go to Egypt, Jesus also went to Egypt. Out of Egypt, my child will be born, or the Savior will come from out of Egypt. So the typology of this is already in the story of Moses, but now we're seeing it at the time of Jesus. And remember, they're trying to kill him before he can get started. It says, let me make sure. Okay. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. I'm in verse 10 now. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They're worshiping him? Okay. Now, how old is Jesus when they find him? Like 2 or 3. So don't think like the picture you see with the Magi standing around and Jesus is a baby in the crib. That's a good picture, okay? He was a toddler by the time that they found him, okay? So it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, which is incense, and myrrh. Okay? Okay. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country in another route. But now he receives these three gifts. Now, if you are a king, I would give you the gift of gold. If you're not a king, I am not supposed to give you a gift of gold. So for the Magi to present to him gold, they were declaring that this is a king.
Yeah.
The next thing, frankincense. If you are a priest, I am going to give you frankincense, which is incense, because those incense are burned, or they're mashed to ground and burned on the fire to go up with the prayers of the saints.
Yeah.
Okay? So therefore, The incense was, they were declaring, you are a, not only are you a king, here's the gold, we also know you're going to be a priest. So here's the frankincense. Then the last thing they gave him was myrrh, which is a perfume oil that you put on when people die. So the Jews used the myrrh to put on people when they died, so for their burial. So these magi also knew the child's going to die. So they're basically knowing the prophecy that Jesus is coming as a king and a priest, and he's going to die on the cross. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm setting this up because when we move on, you have to know all of this basic stuff, okay? Matthew chapter 26, we'll go 6 through 12, okay? You guys there? Okay. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of a very expensive perfume. Now, when it says, my Bible says perfume, yours might say ointment or something like that. It is the Greek word maron, which means myrrh, okay? Maron, but it means myrrh. So what she's putting on him is this wonderful smelling oil called myrrh, and she has it in her alabaster box. So also, I mean, you're not going to put this on someone unless the Holy Spirit is leading you or that prophecy is being fulfilled, okay? Because we're in, here it is, let's read it, okay? It says, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were angry or indignant, and they said, "Why this waste?" They asked. The perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Who said that part? Judas, trying to get some money. And then it says, aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. This poor, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this myrrh, mine says perfume, when she poured this myrrh on my body, she did it to prepare me for what? Burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in a memory of her. So even Jesus knew the crucifixion is getting close and the myrrh she just poured on me is for my burial. Okay? Now, I need you to go backwards to the book of Mark. Or is it forward? Yep. Forward is like, Pastor, you don't know your Bible? I'm getting better, so just be quiet.
<It'll> be all right.
Okay. Okay. Mark chapter 15. As long as I wasn't in the Old Testament, I'm good. Y'all okay? Okay. In Mark chapter 15, let's go to verse 16. Now, remember this, you guys. The whole boast of Jesus Christ throughout prophecy is that a great king is coming to deliver the Israelites and to restore them back to power. Okay? So for all history, when Jesus was born and the angels came and worshiped him, and when the Magi saw him and they bowed down and worshiped him, everybody is knowing, have you heard? The King of Israel has been born. You understand? To the Romans, they were not happy to hear this because they're saying, yeah, right. This child is going to one day deliver you and deliver Jerusalem out of the powerful hands of the Romans back into the Jews. It'll never happen, right? So the whole thing is about this child that is going to take over and restore Israel and restore the kingdom of the Jews. So in chapter 15, verse 16, after they had went and captured him and bound him up and threw him in jail, then they bring him out. It says, the soldiers led Jesus away into a place that is called the Praetorium and called together the whole company of soldiers. What is the Praetorium? It is the room that they crown kings. This is a room that they only get prepared for when they're going to bring a king in and they're going to announce his new kingdom, okay? And they crown him here. This is where the whole ceremony goes on. The soldiers take Jesus into this room. Okay? Watch this. The soldiers led Jesus away into the place called the Praetorium and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe. Why is purple? Purple is the color of royalty, right? They took off. So the robe that was there was specifically there for when the new king comes in. They took the robe off and put it on Jesus as if he's gonna, because they're mocking this whole thing. These Jews thought that this guy was gonna be king. And now look what's happened. And so they're mocking the whole thing. They're spitting on him, they're hitting him in the head with these staffs. And these staffs were not like switches or little pieces of stick. They was like a billy club. Okay, and they're constantly hitting him over the head. Now they called in the whole company. They're taking turns hitting Jesus and spitting on him and bowing down and calling him Jesus. So listen, when Jesus is on the cross and praying that God will forgive them, that they know not what they do, that would have took a lot for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can call thousands of angels right now to jack y'all all up, that would have took a lot for me not to call. So I want you guys to know and understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He could have stopped it.
Yes.
At any time. That means he did it purposely. He did it willingly. And he endured it willingly. There's another scripture that said when they insulted him, he did not say anything insulting back. And all of this is going on because Jesus wants to give you a gift. This morning I got up and the Lord's like, you're getting so close to your gift. To experiencing something so amazing, it's gonna blow your mind. And I'm like, the rapture? It's like more than that. It goes beyond the rapture. You guys understand?
Yes.
This is not just, oh, I'm up here. It's like, yeah, this is just the beginning, right? So he died on the cross so that you can experience what he has,
yeah.
Where he lives, what real life is, right? So he's enduring this, not because he has to. He's not like, it's so weak. Oh, I'm so weak, I can't really fight back. No, it's like, I could jack y'all all up, but go ahead. And so that was the power of what Jesus Christ was doing.
Amen.
Now listen, and it says, and when they finished mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified. Let me see, am I stopping there? Wait a minute. Oh, you got to hear this part. And it says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Okay? Now, he's from Cyrene. Cyrene is northern Africa. Okay? So he's from northern Africa. He's in Jerusalem, in Israel at this time. I want you guys to be good Bible students. You understand? So this is why I'm telling you this. Anybody who took on the religion of Judaism was required by the prophets to be in Jerusalem three times a year. Once at Passover, once at Pentecost, and once at Tabernacles. Every year they had to come to Jerusalem if you were part of the Jewish bloodline, okay? And so this African was worshiping. He was a part of this. He wasn't Jewish, but he had taken on the Jewish bloodline. Maybe it was because of marriage or because of some other reason, but he was there because he considered himself to be practicing Judaism. And so everyone that was practicing Judaism had to be in Jerusalem at the time. Then you understand why there were no rooms at the inn when Jesus was born. Because every Jew in the world was required to be there. Okay? So, the same at Pentecost. So, here we go. Let's finish. It says, let's see here. Oh, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skulls. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. You hear that? I'm going to read this for you. Hold on. It says, wine mixed with myrrh. This is in my notes. The Talmud gives evidence that the incense was mixed with wine to cause the person not to feel pain when they're going through the crucifixion. Okay, so if you mix wine with the myrrh, it was kind of like anesthesia. Thank you. We needed you here today. So this was supposed to be an anesthesia, right? Now Jesus was not the first person crucified.
Right.
He wasn't the first Jew crucified. If you were a criminal, they crucified you. And it was a slow, painful death. The women of Israel mixed together myrrh with this wine to give to the people so that it could be an anesthesia while they're on the cross and they could die without so much pain. Jesus says, no thanks. Why? Because he has to pay in full. He wants to pay the full price of what the sin would cost. You understand? He could have drank it and not felt the pain, but then your pain wouldn't be paid for.
Right.
So he's going through this, but he's going through all of it. Being spit upon, losing all of his friends in one day. Whew. That is, I did that in 2010. The Lord told me, now you know how I feel. First you heard about it. But when we came back 2010, and there was no rapture in 2010, I thought nobody would be here, but they were all here. You know what they were here for? To lynch me.
Yep.
And they had horrible things to say. I mean, one couple was still living with us and they were still letting me have it. I was like, you might want to wait till, you have a place of your own. before you say some of those things. No, they was letting it go, right? So losing all this is emotional pain, physical pain. He died on the cross for your soul, for your emotional pains, for your physical pains, for your healing, for your sins to be forgiven. Jesus is not on the cross just to pay for sin. He's there to make you sozo, which is I'm here to make you whole. That your pain can be dealt with. You can pray for me concerning your pain. You can pray to me concerning your emotional pain. You can pray all this stuff you can get delivered from. Why? Because I didn't drink.
Amen.
Okay? He said, no, thank you. And he said, they cast lots of... Okay. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes, and they cast lots to see what each would get. I think that's where I wanted to stop. I'm going to stop right there. Okay. Oh, no. Here we go. It says, it was the third hour when they crucified him and the written notice on the charge against him read, the King of the Jews, okay, read the King of the Jews. It actually read, Yeshua HaNazarene and King of the Jews, which it was four words in Hebrew. The first letter of each word spelled Yad Heh Vav Heh, Yahweh. So God wanted you to know just by the king writing this on there that Yahweh was on the cross.
Yes.
I was going to put it on the board for you. I didn't have time, but it's in our Hebrew class. You can see exactly what was written above Jesus' head. Yeshua HaNazarene HaMelech VeYehudim. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Four words, each word Yad Heh Vav Heh. Because God wanted you to know God is dying. Okay, God is experiencing death for you. Let's continue.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, right here and left here. Okay, now we finished that so I can explain to you this one thing. Jesus was born to be a king. When the king, when Pilate addressed him, he said, are you a king? He said, yes, for this reason, I was born. Now, the problem is when Jesus came, he was never crowned king. He was crucified before he could be crowned king. So Jesus has never had a crowning ceremony. So you have to understand, this is why Samuel prophesied that David became king for 7 years and 6 months in Hebron, which is the land of the Gentiles. So remember, it is the Gentile church that crowns Jesus as king first. It wasn't until David came back and won a war. And then after he won the war, the Jews came along and says, you're our king too. You always have been. You always was the guy that saved us, right? Which is what's going to happen at the end, okay? Because he's going to be crowned, but he's going to be crowned by us first. And he will be king over us first. Let's go to Revelation before I go to Isaiah 60, because that's the revelation that God gave me. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the process of this. Now, I'm going to explain to you as we go. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me, this is John talking, he's saying, after this what? After the time of the churches, when the whole deal is done from the seven churches that will exist from Jesus to the last church in 2021, until that time, the last church is called Laodicea, which means ruled by the people. Okay? So, from the beginning of Jesus' death on the cross to the time that all of these people become Christians and accept what he did for them, he says, all of these people are going to be brought into the kingdom, but it consists of seven churches. And when that time comes, this is what they'll hear. It says, after this, there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard spoke to me like a trumpet and said, come up here. And it said, and I will show you what must take place after God is finished dealing with the church. Okay? So now, after you hear, he hears the trumpet, listen what it says. At once, you hear that? Immediately, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. So after he hears the trumpet, what happens? He's no longer in his body. He's in heaven. And the throne is sitting in front of him. And he said it happens like this. At once. You understand? So, it says, and the one who sat on sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, rainbow, resembling an emerald, encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. Now, if you go back, you'll see that David separated the priesthood into 24 courses. So when they had a crowning ceremony, the 24 priests would sit on these thrones that were on the side because they were the head priests of the tribes. So, but he separated the whole priesthood into 24 tribes, 12 and 12. Okay? So when you get to this part, if you don't know the history of a crowning ceremony that David had at the time of his crowning and Solomon's crowning, you won't know that they had 24 priests also seated when they crowned David, when they crowned Solomon. Okay? So now what you're about to see here is what? This is a crowning ceremony. So the first thing that you get when you get to heaven, when the trumpet blows and you leave, soon as you land, the first thing you're going to get is the crowning ceremony.
Yes.
You're going to see the throne, and you're going to see the 24 courts are set up. And if you're Jewish, you know what's going on. If you're the church and you haven't been taught, you wouldn't know what's going on. You're like, who are these 24 guys, right? This is the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs, and they're seated on thrones.
Yes.
And now Jesus is about to be crowned. Okay, so it says, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne was what looked to be like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were all covered. So, yeah, I don't want to get into all this. What I wanted you to see is before the throne, there were seven lamps blazing. These seven lamps are the seven churches. Okay? Jesus has not received his crowning service yet. He was mocked at one, but he never got one yet. Okay? But when the church is raptured, Jesus is going to get a crowning ceremony. And the seven churches will be there. Okay? Now look, some people don't really understand, especially like when you're talking about young people, because they really think like the world, they think like the world has always been like this. You understand? They think like, you know, like, You get some kids born now, they'd be like, everybody has always worn masks. You know what I mean? Since I've been born, you know, because you get them kids that born after 2000, they don't know nothing, right? They're like, hey, I heard some rap music with no profanity in it. I was like, wow, I never heard of that before. There was a time where there was none, you know what I mean? So you have to explain to them, you know, that you came in on the middle of a movie,
right?
Okay?
Right.
You have no clue what's going on. You don't know about heaven. You don't know about hell. You don't know about deception. You don't know about Satan ruining your life, my decision making. You don't know anything. All you think you know is that you're cool and your parents aren't.
Right.
Bam. Blow your mind. That's all they know. Okay? And you tell them something, it's like, always bothering me with that. Because they don't understand this world is about heaven and hell.
Yes, it is.
This world is about tribulation or no tribulation.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
There's two things that you're trying to be saved out of, and it's hell. I don't want to experience hell, and I don't want to experience tribulation. So a king was born so that he could pay the price for me never to experience either one. There is an enemy in the world that very real and very deceptive. Very deceptive. I'm just talking about our people for today. I'm talking about African Americans. It really is. I mean, but you know, every TV show that they put out that's for us, black people, is super ghetto. A matter of fact, if the script don't have enough profanity in it, they say, no, you got to make this more black.
Right.
The music that they give us is not filthy enough. You got to put more filth. So it's obviously like something, there's a deceiver out there, but the entertainment is the draw. Mm-hmm. I used to think like we had it worse until I looked at a rock and roll concert with all white kids, and I was like, ah. They had upside down stars, a guillotine on the stage, they're chopping people's heads off, and they're but this is entertainment. And so they're getting them with this entertainment, right? And we don't understand and know one thing. Satan is a deceiver. And if you don't train your kids, they don't have anybody but the world to train them. It's like, I got that. Who would be like this? Hey, I know you ain't got no babysitter and you want to go out. My name is Satan. Can I watch the kids? That's what we do. That's what we do. I'm leaving. Watch whatever you want. I'll be back. And when you get back, they've seen so much. It's like, dang, the world is jacked up. But if you don't protect them, if you don't tell them, this is why you don't watch that. This stuff is trying to get inside of them. You understand?
Yeah.
It's trying to become a part of their everyday fabric. I want my kids to experience the crowning service.
Yeah.
I can't make them love Jesus.
Amen.
But I can give them right instruction, tell them about Jesus, tell them what's really going on, tell them there is a devil in the world. I'm going to send you the interview. There's a guy being interviewed. He said, there's so many of them here. He just died. He said, there's so many of them here, you guys have no idea. Say, many who? He said, Nephilim beings. He said, child sacrifices and all this stuff is going on. He says, there are millions of them. It's like the restrainer is really keeping them back. But when the restrainer leaves, they're going to come forward. And you guys have really got to understand what the world is about to experience, because we really don't know.
No.
We think tribulation is going to be kind of like this, but you got to get the mark. And like, no, it's going to be a lot worse, okay? So I'm trying to explain to you guys something. You have to protect your kids, okay?
Yes.
You have to be the jerk.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because in all that, I'm the jerk. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to protect you so that you're not calling me from a mental ward, all right?
Yes.
So understand, this crowning service is going to happen, and it's going to happen like that. He said, as soon as I heard the trumpet and the voice, immediately I was in the spirit, and before me was the throne of God. Okay? Now, let's go back to Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Okay. Now, let me read it, and then I'm going to try and give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me, okay? Let's read it first. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. The thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes, look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the sea will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Your camels and of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." Did you hear it say all of Sheba?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me stop there for a minute. You think he's talking about the Queen of Sheba? Isaiah's prophesying. He's not even born until 200 years after Sheba visited the King Solomon. He's prophesying. This is 200 years after Solomon's kingdom that he's given this prophecy, and all of a sudden he brings up the fact that Sheba's going to bring incense and gifts to God. So who is Sheba? He's not talking about past Sheba. He's talking about a future Sheba that's going to come and be presented before God. And he says, "I'm going to bring your sons and your daughters on my arms into the heavens. There's going to be gifts. There's going to be a crowning ceremony. All of this is going to go on." If Isaiah is prophesying about Sheba, he's the worst prophet ever, because anybody can prophesy that Trump's going to be president in 2017 now.
Right.
He's talking about something that happened 200 years ago. So God is letting me know, look, he's not talking about that Sheba, or else he's a bad prophet. Anybody can talk about something that already happened.
Right.
He's talking about, what does Sheba mean? Seven. What seven?
Churches.
The seven churches. And he's trying to let them know they're going to come and present gifts to the king. And the king is going to be radiant with joy to see you. Let's finish reading this, and then I'll read it again. It says, "All Kedar's flock will gather to you, okay? Kedar is like, we're talking about Gentiles. Kedar's flocks are Gentiles. You understand? The ram of Nebaoth will serve you, and they will be accepted as offerings on my altar. And I will adorn my glorious temple. Then it asks you this question. Who are these that fly along the clouds like doves to their nests? Who's going to the clouds? The church. So God said, now go back and read it and understand that he's prophesying about Sheba 200 years after that already happened. If he's prophesying about Sheba, he's a bad prophet because he's talking about something that already happened. And even Sheba is a, stop saying Sheba, say seven. Because the seven are the ones who go to the kingdom. There's seven churches. And when the trumpet blows, the seven churches go into the kingdom. Amen. Let's read it again and see if you follow me this now. Now he's talking to you. He says, arise and shine, for your light has come, Jesus. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Does darkness cover the earth right now? And thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now he's talking about Jesus. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All the assembly, he said, Jesus, look up and look about you. All assemble and come to you. All assemble and come to who? To Jesus. All assemble and come to Jesus. And it says, your sons from afar, your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Saying Jesus is going to look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camel will cover your land. Your camels of Midian, which are Gentiles, and Ephod, and it says, and all from Sheba, all from seven, yeah. All from seven will come to you. All from the seven churches yeah. are going to assemble to you. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense. Why gold? You're a king. Why incense? You've been a high priest. Notice nobody says here myrrh.
Right.
No more death. We don't offer any myrrh. We offer incense and gold, but it's not written here anything about myrrh. You see, I already did that part.
Right.
And all Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming praises to the of the Lord. All Kedar's flock, that's Gentiles, okay? All Kedar's flock will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaoth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar. I will adorn my glorious temple. This is not talking about Solomon. Solomon's temple was 200 years ago. He says, I will adorn my temple. Where? In heaven. With who? With those who have been gathered. Then it asks you the question, who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nest? And this is Hebrew, that's an iron chapter, which means this is something you're going to see. Okay? This is something you're going to see. You can't explain common sense to a fool. I'm telling you, okay? You can't do it. I've been one. If you just stop sinning, things can get better for you. Okay. Go right back and do the same thing, right? At some time, you got to wake up and realize what people are telling you is true, okay? They told me there was people that got out of jail. When you grow up in L.A., around gangs and stuff, when people get out of jail, some people have good things to tell you, like, hey, man, how did you get so buff? Oh, man, I was just lifting weights and eating food every day. It's cool in there. You should go.
Ooh.
And as a kid, you're like, yeah, I want to go to prison. I always used to think like that. When I was like, yeah, I want to go to prison so I can lift weights and eat. He didn't tell me nothing about the rest that's going on, okay. Right? But one guy got out and said, man, let me tell you, you can be standing in line to eat lunch. He said, first of all, when you get there, they ask you, where do you want your belongings to go if you should die? He said, that's the first paper you got to sign once you go to prison. Where do you want your belongings to go when you die, if you should die? And you got to sign, like, send them to my mom at this address, right? So he said, now, you need to understand this. Every day, there's fights. And you could be stabbed standing in line just to eat lunch. He said, because they make knives out of everything. They make knives out of soap. They make knives out of out of newspaper. He's like, when you're in there, your chances of survival are slim. But he says, if the best way is to stay by yourself. So he was telling me the real portion of what was going on. Like, whatever you do, don't go. So my whole mind's changed. It changed. But for some people, you could tell them, look, if you get caught up in what Satan is selling you, hell is real. And you'll go, okay. And then they go right back to sinning. So you have to pray for them. I'm going to tell you an awesome story. And this is my wife's testimony. She gave it to me yesterday. She said, I need to tell Paris what I did do for them is I prayed all the time. And I said, that is like, if you can talk to somebody all the time, but if you put a covering over them, yeah, and a prayer over them, they could get wisdom when you didn't even know or understand it, right? Now, I know my mom would be on her knees praying. I would come home, she would get home from work, and she would go right to her knees, start praying. We'd be outside playing football for 2 hours, come back in, she's still on her knees praying. I'd be like, Mom, you sleep? No, why I'm praying? I'm like, wow, she's been there a long time. So prayer can cover you, you understand? So the most important thing for your kids, not just to tell them, but to put a covering of prayer over them. Example, I'm at Bethune Junior High School. And I'm with a new gang, and I don't want to say the name because I don't want nobody coming here. This stuff is real. I'm with a new gang, but this other gang is supposed to come, and they're supposed to fight with one of the guys, and like we're gonna do a one-on-one, right? Wrap up the knuckles, put the rags on, wrap up the knuckles, we're gonna do a one-on-one. And they're like, we're gonna come up there and we're gonna do this, right? So I'm waiting up there with my homies, and we're waiting for this other gang to come, and we're gonna throw down. They're taking a long time to go to get there. And I'm like, man, these guys ain't coming. I'm like, something in my mind said, you just leave and go home. I said, man, I'll check y'all later. They ain't coming. I'm going home. I came back today. Three of our guys got shot. Two of their guys got shot. And then I missed that whole thing. But guess what? When I got home, guess where my mama was? On her knees. And I never connected the two. So I'm telling you, prayer. Cover your children with prayer, because the world you lived in or grew up in is not the world that they're seeing now. We have a glorious future with Jesus because somehow we've come to our senses and we're living for Christ now and we have the Lord in our lives. But I'm telling you right now, you have to pray for them. They live in a complete different world than we did. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.